Amen. Everybody give me an amen to make sure my microphone is working, because I had a little technical issues with it earlier, but it seems to be working, so I need to make sure. Nope, I don't have it working. Let me get it unmuted. Okay, now everybody give me an amen to make sure the mic is working. I had it muted, but I had some technical difficulties with it earlier. So it is Friday night. It is time for another wonderful gathering of us to hear the word of God, to hear a message that was laid on my heart. And I'm just going to let y'all know, of course, I told a joke, but Orthodox, you know, you laughed at it, at least you caught it, at least understood it. You know what I'm saying? This was going to be my last sermon of the year, and I'm not going to preach no more until next year. So, unfortunately, next year is tomorrow. But anyway, I've been thinking on this for the last couple of weeks. I mentioned it last week when I didn't have a sermon, but the week before that, I was going to actually preach a message on something different, but, you know, as I kept looking at it, as always, when the Holy Spirit deals with you, it led me into this direction, because I've been thinking about a lot of things. All of us has been seeing or been going through or been watching or hearing, and, you know, and this and that and everything that's been going on in the year 2021. And I've been, you know, trying to avoid a lot of stuff. Basically, news. I'm just kind of staying away from news. You know, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, you know, Fox News, this, that. You know, I'm sick and tired of it, because everybody's just seem like they're trying to play on fears. They're trying to get people riled up. It seems like they're trying to stress people out. You know, I'm just getting really sick to death of hearing all about this COVID thing. I know it's real. I know it's deadly. I know people die from it. But you know what? I had enough of it. You know, it just seemed like it's just a feeding frenzy to get people hyped up. And, you know, enough is enough. I know it's bad, but look, you know, let's focus on something else. But the world is the world, unfortunately. We as Christians, we can make decisions. We can still be part of the things of the world. We can get caught up with the things of the world. We can be into the things of the world. Or we can decide, you know what, just turn it off and that's it. And that's what I've been doing lately, tuning out the world. Enough. And I've been doing some reflecting on my part. That's why I played the song. That's why I titled this message tonight about reflections. And I've been thinking about many things, especially for Christians, born-again believers, those who are in the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been thinking a lot about them. I've been watching a lot. I've been paying attention to many of you. Those of you who's in the chat room, those who's in the church, those who I see around town, those who I see on Facebook, you know, when I say, oh, I'm a follower of Christ, you know, I belong to Jesus, I belong to God, and yet, you know, some things I've been watching, what they've been saying and doing, I'm kind of like, wait a minute, something's not quite adding up. If you've been part of our Bible studies, that you know what I've been going through, we're systematically breaking down Romans chapter 8. And we talked a little bit about last night being heirs of Christ, meaning that we are sharing equally with him the things that he inherited or the things that he has. So what he has, that we became heirs of that, so we became part of that. So along with everything that he has, even the suffering, we're suffering. But that has to be on the condition that you have to be born again and receive the Holy Spirit to be heirs with him and his kingdom. But as I mentioned last night, you know, either you're in the flesh or you're in the spirit, but you can't be both. Yes, we deal with the flesh. Yes, the flesh is constantly attacking us. Yes, it's warring for control of the mind. But the Holy Spirit is also going against the fleshly spirit. And the fleshly spirit is going against the Holy Spirit. So it's a constant battle that we have to endure every day in our lives. Every day. And that's why we really solely need the power of the Holy Spirit himself to help us endure that battle, the fight. But there's also things going on with us in our walk with God to find out if we're real or not. And this is what I'm kind of going to be hitting on tonight. New Year's Eve night for us. It's New Year's Day for some of you who is here already. So Happy New Year's. Happy New Year's Eve for those of you who has not gotten into New Year's yet. But this is what I want us to think about tonight during this message. The question we should be asking ourselves, what is a reputation? I think generally we all can understand what reputation means. You know, we all grew up, we're all some gray hair, a little bit older, a little bit wiser, but we understand what reputation means, don't you? I think you do. But the question is, what is a reputation? Have you ever thought about yours? Have you? Have you ever thought about your reputation? I kind of do a little bit a lot lately, you know, because some of you who has been sticking it out with me in the chat room, you notice in the last several years that I have changed. Because at first, I kind of developed a bad reputation, you know, because I was too gung-ho, but I was too hardcore. But I had to realize, you know, I had to do some growing up. I really do. And I really did. And I changed. And yet, in the midst of this change, I tried reaching out to some in the past. Fix the sneeze. Whew. Whew. Excuse me. Anyway, but some of you, like I said, you know me. Thank you. And you know that recently, in the last several years, I have changed. Because in a way, I have developed a bad reputation. I was kind of tough, hardcore, you know, kind of crude, rough cut, as you want to say, whatever. But I did try reaching out to some of my former friends that used to be part of this group to talk to them. And one of them I talked to many weeks back, right off the bat, that person says, well, you know about your past, you this, you done this, you this. And I'm sitting here on my computer like, now, I didn't try reaching out to you to hear about you throwing my past into my face. That's not me. That's not me. You know, apparently you don't know who I am. But yet, trying to make amends and trying to reconcile relationships, you want to go back to the past and bring up my old reputation of things that I have said and done in the past. Well, apparently, you don't know what forgiveness is all about. I tried reaching out to them. They're still hanging on to old things. So be it. I moved on. But yeah, that kind of a reputation can hurt. And that's what's embedded into people's minds when they see you. So that's why I asked you tonight, have you thought about yours? How do people see you, or what do they think of you? Have you shown them that you're the person who can be trusted? A person who says, I follow Jesus? Do you show them you're the real deal? Or does your reputation show or says something different than what you claim to be? And did you know? This is an interesting fact, and you can look it up later, but I think you can understand what this verse is going to. But did you know that the Bible says a good name is to be more desired than great wealth? The Bible does say that. A good name is to be more desired than wealth. And favor is better than silver and gold. So, what does this really mean when the Bible says that? See, folks, the Bible, in fact, encourages us, you and I, to keep good reputations whenever possible. It does encourage us to do that. And the idea of this is echoed in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. And look what the passage says. And that's why I mentioned that the Bible says a reputation name is to be more desired than great wealth. But look what it says. A good name is better than precious ointment, and a day of death than a day of birth. Wow. The Bible's clear that a good reputation is of great value and is therefore something that you and I should strive to earn and maintain. This is why I call this, you know, basically, this is usually going to be my end of the year message, because a lot of times I think about, you know, what do I speak on at the end of the year? And this just so happened to fall on a Friday, New Year's Eve. So that's why I'm trying to get us to reflect upon who we are, what we claim to be, or past actions, if any, we've done in this past year, 2021. But we need to strive and maintain that good reputation. A reputation, my friends, is built over time as others evaluate our life choices and determine who we are based on how we behave. While we don't like the idea of being judged, we don't. We're all human. None of us likes the idea of being judged. But Jesus Christ does command in many scriptures. And, you know, one day if you want to find out, I'll give them to you. I got them written down on my tablet over here. But Jesus does command us to be righteous judges. We are not to judge your salvation. Lord be it. That is not for us. But he commands us to be righteous judges. So whenever I watch you, I am judging you according to the Word of God. If your actions are not lining up to the Word of God, then something is wrong with you, my friends. Or you better find out what it is, or I better try my best to point these things out to you. Hopefully you can see the light and change. But, like I said, we don't like the idea of being judged. Oh, Jimbo, you're judging me when you're saying that. No, I ain't, because, again, the Lord says to be righteous judges. The fact is, though, we are always judging each other as a way of determining who is trustworthy and who is not. So we're always judging each other. Some of you were judging me when you first met me because, oh, I don't know if I can trust that dude. You know, I just joined his chat room. I really don't trust him. Well, you know, the same similarity, I was thinking the same thing about y'all when y'all joined. I don't know if I can trust you, because you know why? A lot of people I did trust, I opened up to, poured out my heart to, put everything I had into, end up betraying me. Got hurt by many in this chat room. Got hurt by many in the church. As a pastor, look, let me tell you something. Me and my wife, we get hurt a lot. You would not think people in church. What hurt you? You will not think you will get hurt by people in church. But guess what? You do. Sad as it be, people do hurt you. And that tarnishes their reputation. And then it makes you to a point where, I don't know if I can ever trust that person. You have a hard time trying to trust that person based upon their reputation. So this is why we, whenever we look at each other, we meet somebody for the first time, especially the newcomers in the room. I'm not saying nothing bad against them. But you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't trust you right off the bat because trust has to be earned. And your reputation can determine how far that trust goes. And as Christians, it should be this. As Christians, our number one priority is to represent Jesus Christ to this lost and broken world. That should be our number one priority, folks. All of us, you who are here tonight, those who's going to listen to this later on the online sermons, because I do record this and upload it, your number one priority should be to represent Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. But too many Christians that I have seen or done are too judgmental or too strict or too hardcore. They actually beat up a lot of baby Christians, as I call them, and turns them off and they leave because their reputation has ruined Jesus Christ. And we got to stop this. We got to stop being this way. We need to be more like Jesus. To love the lost and dying people. To care for them. Look, some of them get on your nerves, yes, and they do get on mine. But you know, I have learned in the last several years to be more compassionate, to be more caring, more loving, and putting up with their nonsense and overlooking a lot of things, because my goal now is to reach them with Jesus Christ. I want them to see now by my reputation of what I am or what I claim to be. I want them to know Jesus can save. Because the reason why I want them to see Jesus in me now more than ever, folks, let's be honest. Jesus is honest. He's kind. He's loyal. He's honorable. And we should strive to be exactly like that every day. We should be all those things as well. And all those qualities, what they do, they contribute to a good reputation. People evaluate the worthiness of our message based upon reputation as people of character. If we have poor reputations, then folks, our message is tainted as well. If we are into things such as dishonesty and gossip and hypocrisy, all that does is damages our testimony, and it does not reflect the true character of Jesus. Because of that, many will not heed to our words that we speak. Many will not heed to that when our reputation does not match what we claim to be. So how are you going to be used to be, how are you going to be used to lead someone to Jesus Christ when your reputation is saying something else based upon your actions? Because again, if your reputation does not match what you claim to be, you're doing more damage to the gospel than doing good. Period. Period. You might as well just shut your mouth down until you get right. I know that sounds hardcore, but that's truth. That's truth. You need to quit. You need to stop it. Because you're not doing the gospel any good. Period. So if your reputation is tarnished or damaged or whatever because you've been running with the wrong crowds and saying the wrong things and doing all the wrong stuff, then you, my friends, as this year closes out or has closed out for some of you, it's time to reflect upon what you are. If you're going to have your Bibles with you tonight, our reading scriptures for tonight is Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. Read along if you're here. Those of you watching this later on online or listening to it, listen to what it says. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collector and the sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we thank you again for another wonderful day. Thank you for allowing us to breathe the air that we are breathing now. Thank you for allowing us to gather together online with this technology to present the word that maybe they need to hear it, maybe they don't need to hear it. I don't know. I just do whatever you tell me to do. I do know most times these messages speaks to my own heart because it gets me into a period of what I call reflections. And Father, I ask of you right now that, you know, if there's any here tonight that maybe somehow or another they may have tarnished their reputation, they would just sit back and think about some of these things said tonight and decide, okay, well, how do I rectify the situation? Those who are listening online, those of you who hear his voice, I implore you right now, if you have tarnished your reputation as a Christian, I suggest first to repent, cleanse yourself, examine yourself, and do what we're supposed to do to represent Jesus the best way possible. Father, I ask you to bless those who are here tonight for whatever reason, others who could not make it here. I don't know why. As me and my dear friend Lisa was talking, it just seemed like many no longer has the desire to attend these sermons. Many no longer has the desire to attend these Bible studies. Many claims they want to come here for fellowship, but when they get here, they say nothing and they disappear. And I'm just puzzled as this, Father, because I listen to them when I speak to a lot of them in private messages. Oh, I need to be with other brothers and sisters. Oh, I need a fellowship. Oh, I need this and I need that. But yet, then when they get in here, they are silent like the night sky. Well, if they're needing to be in fellowship, then why do they go through all the trouble to get here, then say nothing? I don't get it. But place it upon their hearts to start fellowship and to get together. I don't know. Maybe it's a sign of the times. Who knows? Maybe, like Lisa says, maybe many are just what she calls self-gratification. If they don't get satisfied right off the bat, then that's it. They move on. Who knows? I don't know. We're trying to do our best to tell others about you, Lord. We're trying to do our best to encourage people to fellowship. We're trying the very best way possible. But it just seemed like nobody's hungry for you anymore, Lord. I don't know. Maybe we are close to the end times. Who knows? But I ask you to bless them anyway that are here tonight. And again, you deal with the rest of them the way that you know how to do. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be here and allowing us to breathe and allowing us to have a chair to sit down and a house to sit under, food to eat tonight. And as we sit here and dwell on New Year's Eve night and think about what does the new year hold for us, at least let us reflect upon what do you want out of us. We want to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. All in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And y'all seen the message because I used the automated bot thing, and the title of this message is Reflections for the Year 2022. And yes, folks, 2022 is fast approaching. It will be here for some of us. It's here for some of you now. But, you know, I was thinking about this message and putting it together about for this upcoming year. And I was thinking of many things, and I hope that maybe you might look at some of these things and ask yourself some questions. Do I need to make some adjustments? And I implore you to think about it. Think about it hard. And do not be afraid to ask yourself the hard questions. You know what? Maybe I have not been what I should have been. And maybe it's time to make some changes. What I would like for us tonight, I'd like for us to consider the high and low points of the past year of 2021. I don't know if you're note takers or not or whatever, but maybe you need to decide and you need to decide and consider what was your high points and what were your low points of the year 2021. I got a lot of low points, but I got some high points too. Thing you need to think about. Would you change anything if you could? Thinking about your highs and lows of past year 2021. Would you change anything if you could? Would you make different decisions? What would you do differently? And after all those questions, this is the important one I think we all should ask. This is the very important one I think we should ask ourselves, folks. What do you want God to do in your life in the new year 2022? What do you want God to do in your new life in the year 2022? 2021 is fading away. Now, with this in mind, consider the goodness of God's grace and how He allows new beginnings for all of us who comes to Him. Consider that. And the question I just posed to you are means of getting us to think, what's next for us in 2022? What's next? What's next for me? What's next for you? What changes will be made? Am I going to be in His will? Will I follow Him to the full extent that He asked me to do? Will I do what He asked me to do? As Donna said, hard questions. Be not afraid, but truthfully seek them and answer them truthfully. As I done a couple years ago, I realized, whoa, I am not what I claim I was. I should have not been acting that way. It's time to change. So while this night is New Year's Eve for some of us, and the year 2022 will be arriving later on tonight, some of us will most likely be in bed sleeping, while others will be ringing in a new year. So, what will it be like in 2022? What will it be like? You know, I'm not going to get into the point, you know, being an optimist or pessimistic or however you want to say it. You know, I'm not going to get into the point of downing you. But I'm thinking about what would 2022 look like? What would it be like? Will it improve or will it get worse? I don't know. But I know one thing for sure, as a fact. I got to do better for God, not for me. I must do better to witness Jesus for the lost and dying world. And if it means that I have to die more to myself, if it means I have to humble more to myself, if it means, as I was reading a couple of days ago when Paul was talking about, if someone comes to you preaching something other than Jesus, we might as well put up with it. And I'm going to research that, because I kept looking at that passage over and over and over and over. And I'm thinking, Paul, wait a minute, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me if someone's preaching to us another Jesus, a different Jesus, you're trying to tell us that we might as well put up with it? And I think that's what Paul's alluding to, because I think because those of us who are true to Christ, you know, someone else is preaching something different, that we might as well put up with them, because then again, we need to be concerned for their salvation and witness to them. I'm going to do some heavy research. That might be an improv Thursday night Bible study, you know, so be prepared for that. But what will we be like in the year 2022? And while thinking is over, folks, while we're thinking about what I just said, let's talk a little bit about Matthew, because that's what this passage that we just read is referencing to. What was Matthew's reputation? I think all of us can give an answer. I think y'all know what Matthew's reputation was. You can type it if you want to or not, or just keep paying attention to what I'm saying. But many of us who studies the Bible should know who Matthew was. And because of his occupation, we know that he was hated by many. Matthew was hated by many. Why? Why was he hated and despised so much? I mean, we know what the Bible says, that the Jews, they even despised the Samaritans. They hated them. They didn't want nothing to do with the Samaritans. But Matthew, in a sense, was in the same boat. So why was he hated so much? I'm glad that you asked the question. Well, for one, this is why he was hated so much. He, in fact, was a tax collector. And during the time of Israel, this is a little history, during the time of Israel, when it was occupied by the Roman authorities, the Romans believed, and this is their system they put in place, the Romans believed, who's better to get money from a Jew, none other than a Jew. Now, I'm not trying to credit the Romans, but you know, they had some really crafty thinking. Who's better to collect taxes from a Jew than a Jew? So therefore, they used their own people to collect taxes. But it doesn't end this way. It doesn't end here. Because I'm going to let you know why Matthew was hated so much by his own countrymen. Yes, he was used by the Romans to collect taxes. But that's not why they really hated him. Because what it meant to them, that tax collectors were traitors. They were hated by many. But to make the matters worse, the Romans would tell those tax collectors how much money to collect. Now, anything collected above the amount what the Romans told them to get was theirs to keep. So the Romans gave them instructions, you are to collect this amount. But anything you get above that, that's yours. So those tax collectors would charge whatever they wanted, and they had the Roman Empire to back them up. Nobody can go against the tax collectors, because the Roman Empire backed them up. So therefore, that's why they were hated so badly by their own countrymen. They knew they couldn't say nothing. They knew they couldn't go against them. Because if they did, they went against the Roman Empire. Y'all know what happened when Jews went against the Roman Empire. Many were put to death by crucifixion. Almost starting to sound familiar, isn't it? But thus, in their eyes, that the tax collectors were also considered thieves. They were considered to be the worst and the most unclean sinners. The religious leaders called them pariah dogs. And pariah means outcasts. And would many times spit at them or not look at them as if they didn't exist. But hey, I'm going a little further than this. Why they will hate it so badly. You know why? To add insult to injury to this, the Pharisees themselves taught the people that God himself rejoiced when he threw a tax collector in hell. That's right, folks. The religious leaders taught the people that God rejoiced when he threw tax collectors in hell. So basically, poor Matthew, he had a reputation on the basis of the job he held. Wow. Now let's think about these and a few questions. Let's think about the questions I'm fixing to pose to you. Let's think about the questions I'm getting you to reflect upon in this message tonight. You ready for this? What do you think gives you your reputation? What do you think gives you your reputation? If I was to talk to you privately, I'm not asking for you to type it in the room or not, but if I was to ask you personally, okay, you know, Lisa, what gives your reputation? Orthodox, what gives your reputation? Fred, what gives your reputation? Denise, what gives your reputation? I think none of y'all never thought about asking people that, huh? Have you? Maybe. I don't know. Is your reputation intelligence? That I'm super smart? Yep. I'm good looking? Oh, yeah. Or kindness? You're a kind person? Or how you treat people? Or what you are? I mean, the list can go on and on. What gives you your reputation? What kind of reputation did you have this past year with people who knew you? The people that you encountered this past year, 2021, what kind of reputation did you have with them? And would those folks actually tell you the truth and say that either you had a bad reputation or you had a good reputation? Would they say that honestly? In their eyes, they're probably talking behind your back, saying, oh, Brother Jim, he has a bad reputation because he's notorious for banning and kicking people out of the room. He's mean, he's crude. You know, he doesn't want to listen to me. He doesn't like me. He doesn't love me. And he claims he's a pastor. Well, he ain't no different than Matthew. And I will tell you, some of those in the past will say, yeah, you know what? They were right. But just like what Jesus does to everyone else, he forgives them of their sin, and he forgave me because I realized then I was not what I claimed to be. So if he had to talk to them, they would say, oh, no, he don't have a good reputation. And that's why I think many of them no longer want to talk to me. They don't want to even try to reconcile relationships. They don't want to put those things aside because in their minds, they see the old Brother Jim, plain and simple. But they're not giving me a chance to see me for what I really am now. Because if they was to look at me and talk with me and hang with me and fellowship with me, they would say, my God, Jim, something happened to you. Something happened to you. You changed. But they don't want to give me the chance because, see, in their eyes, like the Jews, they look at Matthew the same way. And they were still upset when Jesus called Matthew to follow him. Like, Matthew had to fight that reputation for a long time. And I think he still did all the way to the very end. So what we need to think about, are you happy with this reputation that you made for yourself? Are you? So now, how do you think that poor Matthew felt when Jesus not only looked at him and spoke to him, which is more than any other religious leader would have done, but also called him to be a disciple, and look, and it gets worse, and ate at the man's house. So why would poor Matthew be shocked at this? Whoa, why is this rabbi wanting to eat in my house? This teacher, this person, I've been hearing certain things about healing the sick, the blind, the deaf, and, you know, bring people from the dead. Why all of a sudden now this guy, a Jew, wants to come eat in my house knowing what I am? Why? I bet that was blowing his mind. Why would the Pharisees be upset about this? Why would the people be upset seeing Jesus sitting with Matthew at his table eating dinner with him? In case you may not know, here's another history lesson. The answer to this is, back in those days, eating with someone in that culture was a sign of friendship. Back in those days, when you're eating with someone, that was a sign of friendship. So here's Jesus, shows up on the scene. Many knows about him. He calls Matthew to be a disciple. Let's go chill out and eat your house, dude, because I want to munch down and get to know you better. And yet the other religious leaders, they were upset. Oh, they got into a frenzy because they hated Matthew based on his reputation. This is why, again, those Pharisees were so upset that Jesus and his disciples had dined with them. A hated tax collector. And he had a bad, stinking relationship. So the question now that we have to ask ourselves, did this stop Jesus from speaking to him, eating with him, spending time with him? Did this stop Jesus from doing that? Can someone give me the answer? I know you're thinking about it. No, it did not. It did not. That should not be stopping you from spending time with someone that you once at least didn't like because of their reputation or the way they treated you or the way they were carrying on in the past. That should not stop you. It didn't stop Jesus. It should not stop us. Folks, no matter who we are or what we did or what type of reputation we made for ourselves in the year 2021, if we went to Jesus and confessed to him, he forgives us of all our sins. He forgives us of all the mistakes that we had made. And how do I know this? I know this by facts. You should too. Why do I know this? Because the Word of God says this. Look what 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says about that. That's why I know. Because if you don't trust me, if you don't really take my word for it, then don't. I'm just a human being. But take the word of God for it. And look what it says. If we confess our sins, he is If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's something I wish all the former Christians that came into this room. I'm not trying to cut them down. I'm not trying to talk bad about them. I'm not trying to justify my actions or anything like that. I'm not trying to stand before you and paint a picture that, look, I'm right and they were wrong. I'm not trying to do none of that. But apparently, they do not know the Word of God, because, again, when the Word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, they themselves should ask for forgiveness also. Forgiveness means to forgive. And don't say, well, I forgive you, Brother Jim, but I'm not going to forget. Well, folks, let me tell you something right now. If you use that analogy, then you're not forgiving. Forgiving means to forget. Period. Case closed. No ifs, no buts. We can get into the debate till the cows come home, but the fact is, when you ask for forgiveness, God forgets. And so shall we. And if we're not, if we say, well, I'm not going to forget what you did to me, then you're not forgiving me. or you're not forgiving the person. You must forgive and move on. That starts the healing process. And over time, we will be healed of whatever the offense was. So, I will say this, as this year is closing out. Are there people in your life that might be glad if you spoke to them or offered to spend a little time with them? Are they? Do you know others? I bet you do. Do you know others who might be an outcast that might be looking for a friend? Do you think your reputation will draw them closer to a walk with God based upon you being a follower of Christ? That's why I challenge you right now. You better check your reputation, because again, if you're sending out a bad message, then why should they follow God if you're acting the way you're acting? So with all that being said, with this year closing out, in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Unlike the world with its politics, its games and fantasies, we, my friends, must embrace the real world where God exists. What He thinks is more important to us. Not what we think. What He thinks should be more important to us. And like Christ, we must be willing to be of no reputation to this world, waiting on the reward that grace, patience, and faith and hard work brings versus the deceptive ways of Satan and this world. Again, we must not be in no reputation of this world while we are waiting on the reward, the grace, the patience, and the faith and the hard work versus the deceptive ways of Satan and this world. We must separate ourselves from that. The definitive mark for all of us and the goal should be, as I mentioned this earlier, it should be a good name with a fervent desire to grow in holiness and in being of a righteous character. That should be our goal. We should strive to be in His holiness and be of righteous character. So that way, when folks look at us, I know you. You have a heart for God. You are sold out for Him. I love being around that kind of a spirit, my friends. It's those who are interacting with the world, those who are acting of the world, those who are saying things of the world, those who's coming in here with negative attitudes and everything else. That's the kind of reputations I no longer want to be of. I part away from that. But I seek the positive reputations of a person claiming to be a follower of Christ. So as 2021 comes to a close, in these last few hours that we are here in the United States, let us think of a few questions I think that you and I should be asking during this time. And like I told y'all earlier, I got a fire pit outside. You know, my wife, she's working real late tonight. But when she gets home, we're going to have a little supper. And then we're going to go out there and we're going to light the fire wood in the pit. And normally what I do during this time each year, I sit by that pit. And I reflect. And I think about my past actions. Were they good or were they bad? And I think about what's next for the following year. And I think about how do I improve. But you know, most of all, what I think about when I'm sitting in that fire pit it may come to a surprise to you, but when I'm looking at that pit and I'm looking at that fire, you know what I'm thinking about a lot? The people that's in hell. And how many are in hell because of my bad reputation? That's the questions we should be asking ourselves during that time of reflection. Are there things you've been doing this year that you know does not belong in the life of someone who claims to be a follower of Christ? Are there things that you have done? Have you treated people in a bad way? Have you had a bad attitude? Did you have a bad potty mouth? Have you entertained bad thoughts? Perhaps you looked at things that you shouldn't have looked at, watched things, listened to things that you knew in your heart that you knew were not right. Are you living in a way that is totally pleasing God? Are you? If you had to look at yourself 100%, are you really pleasing God 100% by the way you're living? I ain't putting nobody on the pedestal here, but if I had to ask myself those questions, the answer would be no. A shock, isn't it? The answer would be no. That's why we must reflect. That's why we have to examine ourselves to see if we are of good reputation. And if we're not, you better find out what's wrong and ask God to help you correct those deficiencies. So while 2021's closing, what kind of reputation have you made for yourself? Was it a good one? Or was it a bad one? Which one? See, folks, reputations means nothing to Jesus. But in the eyes of many, having a bad one will cause them to look at you like many saw Matthew, a hated tax collector. Nothing more. Our call to Christian obedience and faithfulness means we are not always going to be thought well of by others. We're not going to be thought well by them, especially the unbelieving world. Even within Christian circles, we can be called to say hard things that people do not want to hear. And sometimes, you know me, I don't beat around the bush. I have to speak the truth. I will tell you things that you don't want to hear, but it's meant for your own good. It's to shake you back to reality. You know what? I think Brother Jim is right what he's saying. I think it's time for me to look at self and decide how do I correct that. But that should not deter our ability to speak the truth of God's words when and where it's needed. Should not. I'm not afraid to speak it. I'm not going to stop speaking it. I'm never ever going to back down the way I am. I'm going to hit you with those hard questions. I'm going to hit you with those hard answers. I will shake your tree. You may get mad at me. You may get upset with me. Many of you here in the past has, because I told you things plainly and not like a parable. I told you straight up what the issue was. Many who passed through here, I told them the same thing. Many did not like it, and psst, they're gone. But I do this for a reason now. I'm doing this in love, because I care about your soul. I care about your reputation. I care about who you claim to be. And if you're going down that rabbit hole, then I'm going to throw some dirt in your face to get you to move into a different direction. That's not going to stop my ability to speak the truth. But on the other hand, we do need to regard the kind of people that we are dealing with. We do need to regard the kind of people we are to be. Our lives should be consistent with the message we proclaim, because the author and the subject of our message has impacted our lives. We do need to be mindful that we are a living epistle and others are watching you like a book. They're watching you. Trust me. They are. Why do I know? As a pastor, people in church watch me closely. Now, if he's telling me all this, then I'm going to keep a sharp eye on that brother. So if I'm out there telling you, you should not watch pornography, you shouldn't be drinking, you shouldn't be looking at things on the internet, and you should not be doing all this, and yet you see me in the background doing it, I got a bad reputation. My word means nothing. Our reputation will speak volumes. For in it, it reveals your character. Well, people, when they look at you, they need to see Jesus in you. And with this in mind, do you think you can improve on that and become a better disciple for Jesus? I think you can say yes to that. Unlike the world, with its politics and its games and its fantasy, folks, we must embrace the real world where God exists. What he thinks is more important to us, not what they think. Like Christ, we must be willing to be of no reputation to this world, waiting on the reward that grace, patience, faith, and the hard work brings versus the deceptive ways of Satan and his world. Again, folks, as I said earlier, the definitive mark and the goal for us should be a good name with a fervent desire to grow in holiness and be of righteous character. So last but not least, I'll leave y'all with this. 2021 is coming to an end. So remember this when you are dealing with people in a new year. Let them see Jesus as Jesus saw them, a person who needs salvation, or one who needs to be brought closer to God, and one who needs to be a disciple. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, folks, look, if Jesus called Matthew to be a disciple, the dude that was really hated by many, then the real question would be, are there people in your life and lives that you can call to follow Christ as well? Are there people in your lives that you can call to follow Jesus as well? And if so, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? In fact, will your reputation as a follower of Jesus prove to them what you claim to be? Would it? So my final thoughts for the year 2021 will be this. I want you to think about what you want God to do in your life in the upcoming new year, and how will you do better than this past year. Think about what 2022 is going to hold for you, and think about this. Will you do better? Will you? Think about it. Amen. Let's pray.